Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for the National Football League, due to its decision to eliminate a vital end zone message from the field during Super Bowl 59. Now, dear Othering, I know you have watched with keen interest as we have gradually made the NFL kowtow to our demands, whether it's changing the name of the Washington Redskins to the Harmless Commanders or taking a don't-ask, don't-tell approach to players kneeling during the national anthem. Moreover, the NFL has allowed teams to turn their helmets into message boards sporting such important social lessons as stop hate, vote, Black Lives Matter, and say their stories as part of its Inspire Change initiative. In fact, we must celebrate the singing of the Black National Anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing, at the start of many events, including this weekend's championship game. But, and I hate to have to say it, there is a real problem. All season long, the powerful phrases It Takes All of Us and End Racism have been stenciled into the end zones of home games of participating teams. Unfortunately, the NFL has decided not to include End Racism in the end zone on the field of the Superdome. Instead, the message at that end will simply be Choose Love. And much as we appreciate Choose Love, it clearly implies that the admonition to End Racism is no longer needed. As if racism has already been solved and doesn't need to be fought with every spandex fiber of our social uniforms. How are we supposed to remind ourselves and our neighbors about the unremovable stain of modern racism and the threat it poses to harmony everywhere if all we see on the field is a bland message about choosing love instead of the poignant guiding instruction it is replacing? The biggest audience of the season, and you choose to stop preaching hate and division? To stop preaching against hate and division? Also, and I almost hate to say this since it's so obvious, but could there be a worse time to drop the end racism message than in the year when Kansas City, a team which persists in using the racist name Chiefs, stands on the verge of a historical third win in a row? The Chiefs can take the field, but end racism gets removed from it? What a terrible look. So in spite of all the other wonderful virtue signals the NFL sends on a regular basis, this one infraction has led us to the distasteful conclusion of canceling them this week. And let this serve as a stern reminder that hundreds of good deeds can be undone in a single moment of moral wavering. Never let your guard down or your tackle. For one never knoweth from whence the virtue police may cometh for thee. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, Secretary of State Marco Rubio and the United States State Department, who this week enacted the terrible anti-inclusive guidance from President You-Know-Who to dismantle every last shred of justice for the transgender community. Following a pattern seen across U.S. government publications, the State Department actually shrank the holy acronym string on its websites, such as the ones giving guidance on international adoptions or travel restrictions for LGBTQI+ would-be parents or vacationers. Instead, the websites now simply have instructions for LGB travelers and LGB prospective parents. Transgender, queer or questioning, intersex, and plus sexualities are now no longer officially recognized by the State Department. They've gone from being seen to being completely unseen. They have been invisibilized. They literally chopped the holy acronym string in half, ripping asunder the harmony of the happy people of the rainbow. Yes, the holy acronym string, that once glorious and ever-expanding sequence of letters, numbers, symbols, and punctuation marks, has been shrinkaged to a rather unholy mere acronym stub. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, we do want to give our heartiest praise to the painfully handsome British actor Idris Elba, who recently proved well beyond our satisfaction that he's far more than just a mathematically perfect face. Addressing the epidemic of knife violence in Great Britain, Elba is promoting a documentary in which he says something needs to be done to solve this grave social threat.
The truth is that kitchen knives are perhaps 25% of the knives used in most of the terrible crimes. That's one of the stats in the films.
But if you're wondering how on earth knife violence can be solved, well, Elba has a very simple technological innovation in mind.
So kitchen knives, of course, it's very difficult. They're a domestic knife. I do think there is areas of innovation that we can do with kitchen knives. I hate to say it, not all kitchen knives need to have a point on them. That sounds like a crazy thing to say, but actually it would reduce. You know, you can still cut your food without the point on the knife.
That's right. A ban on the manufacture and sale of pointy knives is just the sort of blunt instrument that could make everyone safer. And it's a plan already endorsed by the Church of England, judges, and top trauma doctors and psychiatrists across Britain, all of whom recognize the obvious truth that knife control is the next evolution in our efforts to disarm dangerous people. Moreover, Elba says we need to look at whether to grand person in things like a heirloom sword, which does run the risk of allowing regular or even ninja swords in. But no worry, just introduce knife licenses to solve that problem.
But it is leaving a loophole for someone to carry a ninja sword. So let's ban them all, and if you have one of those knives, get a license for it. Simple as that.
Simple as that. But of course, our fear is that in a moment of passion, even the people who no longer possess pointy cutlery or ninja swords will nevertheless resort to other weapons of convenience. And so we are calling on the British government to establish a commission to study all sharp household goods for possible safety improvements. Obvious steps include replacing ordinary scissors with safety scissors, replacing all pencils with crayons, and ballpoint pens with safe, soft felt tips. It's also probably time to end the barbaric manufacture of the deadly toothpick. We probably need to ban drills, nails, and screwdrivers, and while we're at it, we should probably study mechanisms to reduce the very real danger posed by staples, thumbtacks, and paper cuts. Perhaps softer paper or using napkins to write on might help. Bluntly speaking, there are plenty of things the Brits can do to protect their citizens from themselves and each other. And yes, we recognize that even the most robust pointy knife ban and sword licensing scheme will not solve for all interpersonal violence, but that's okay. Always remember Pluffmeyer's dictum on irrational regulations. It is essential to make laws that make no sense because in requiring obedience to irrationality, we create a submissive and orderly populace. Yes, reason is our real enemy, and we must never overlook an opportunity to stifle it. So naturally, we are very eager to see what other cleaver suggestions Idris Elba might have in store for us in the soon-to-be-released documentary, Our Knife Crime Crisis, and we celebrate his efforts to make life less pointy and duller for all. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Before you leave, if you're still having trouble processing the pain and humiliation of the inauguration of President We Never Say His Name, we have a fresh batch of denial kits available for anyone who needs ongoing reassurance that everything at least has a chance of being okay. This week's soothing contents feature television shows exclusively depicting female presidents, so that you can continue to vividly picture the alternate universe promised by Hillary Clinton and Kamala Harris, but so far not yet made a reality. The kits include season 7 and 8 of the action series 24 featuring Cherry Jones as President Alison Taylor, all 7 seasons of Veep featuring Julia Louis-Dreyfus as Vice President and then President Selina Meyer, all 6 seasons of Madam Secretary with Taya Leone playing eventual President Elizabeth McCord, the one and only season of Commander-in-Chief featuring Gina Davis as President Mackenzie Allen, the also one and only season of State of Affairs featuring Alfred Woodard as President Constance Payton, and season 6 only of House of Cards featuring Robin Wright as President Claire Underwood. In fact, as I was preparing to order these DVDs for you, I suddenly was made aware that, sadly, we've been very, very effective in our campaign to normalize homosexuality through TV and movies, and yet we've been completely ineffective in those same efforts in dozens of films and television shows at getting the American people to elect a female president. A sad truth to have to recognize, but it only means we must try harder, perhaps by making it a level 3 thought crime to ever depict the American president as a man in TV or film. Morgan Freeman will simply have to find other work.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.